All right, so Dr. Firestone, we have this situation wherein we have got to be looking at what's going on, what's working for us, what's not working for us. We get to talk about this word that means so much to so many, the I word, intimacy. Can you share it with us before you begin to talk about how to establish it, and then if we've had it and lose it, how to restore it? Could you share it with us what intimacy really is?
Yeah, I think intimacy, I think most people, their mind first jumps to sex, and I do think sex is part of it. And sex is a way we can be really intimate with another person, when we make ourselves vulnerable to another person and open to them. But I think that intimacy is more than just sexuality. It involves emotional closeness, too. And when you combine the two of emotional closeness with sexuality, it's particularly meaningful for people. And emotional closeness has to do with being vulnerable as well, of letting down our psychological defenses and really being open and exposing our more vulnerable feelings to the other person. I think that's why there's, I don't know if you've heard of these 36 questions that supposedly if you and another person ask each other and answer these 36 questions, you fall in love. And they say you could do this with anybody. But the idea is it's revealing yourself and showing different aspects of yourself. And I think that's really important. And they start off with ones that are a little bit less personal, and then they get to the really personal. Because if you sort of, unveil these layers of yourself and let people really get to know you, then you're going to have more intimacy. And that will make the sexuality much more meaningful.
Interesting. And so this is something then, when we're talking about emotional closeness, allowing ourselves or making ourselves vulnerable, this is something that can be challenging for males and females, or just for one gender?
Well, I think people think of it as being more challenging for males, but I think there's plenty of females that feel very challenged by being vulnerable. And I think partly we have a society that's tended to see vulnerability as weakness. But the reality is that there is no real intimacy without vulnerability. And I think Dr. Brené Brown, who does a TED Talk about vulnerability, really brings this point home. And her research really shows in order to have real closeness with another person, you have to be willing to be vulnerable. And the way that my father, Robert Firestone, writes about it in some of the work we've done together is that he talks about the fact that, if you're vulnerable, you're actually in a really strong position. You're most likely to get what you want. You are opening up and allowing others to see what those wants and needs are. And it's actually a very safe place. It's not as dangerous as we think it is, and it's a lot better than what we usually do, which is saying no to ourselves. We decide that the other person isn't going to respond or this isn't going to work out, and so we basically say, no to ourselves, and that's a self-protective stance that actually wards off love. So we say we want love and closeness, but a lot of times we're doing a lot of behaviors to actually push it away.
So we're shooting ourselves in the foot, and this is something that, again, you're sharing with us, males and females have to work on. And as you were saying that, I was remembering some of the comments that I've heard some ladies make about how difficult it can be for them to really just let their guard down, just be vulnerable, to just relax, to just enjoy. And so it's the relationship, enjoy the relationship. And so that's not something that really comes natural for either gender, just because of their gender.
Right. I think it comes more naturally if we had a really loving, attuned mom because we're a little more less afraid. I think for both genders, men get taught that they have to put on a tough exterior. They can't show their vulnerability. But women get taught that, especially with men, have your guard up. They want to take advantage of you. All they want is sex or, this or that. And those things make it very hard to just relax and be vulnerable. And yet to have close relationships, we need to be vulnerable. So we're both kind of fighting against some of the things that we may be taught early on that actually don't work for us very well.
So if we're doing these things, if we're allowing ourselves to be vulnerable, we're making sure that, of course, it needs to be mutual. I imagine if both people are willing to be vulnerable and that's expressed, then I guess that could help them both feel safer. And I was so caught up with that word. You mentioned that earlier, that people need to feel safe. And I imagine that that's true, again, of both partners in a relationship and not just one. They both need to feel safe.
Right, and emotionally safe. Like, it's okay to be themselves, yeah. whatever that is. And, you know, we all have, some sides of ourselves that we're not so proud of, that we have more trepidation or fear about revealing to our partner.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's really important that we show ourselves to our partner and that they really accept us. Otherwise, if they only accept you, but you're only, you know, you're acting or being the way you think they want you to be, then they're not really in love with you. They're in love with what that image of you that may be pretty false. If you really want to be loved for who you are, you have to show the other person who you are. And, you know, I think another idea people have is that if you're in a long-term relationship, it's not going to stay romantic and loving. It's going to get old, or you're just going to be friends eventually. I think that's really problematic, and that in that neither person's that happy. I do think we can sustain romantic, passionate love, but it involves three things, and that's what the research shows, is we have to have a certain intensity toward our partner, like light up when we see them. And you can see this with people. You know, some couples light up when they see each other,
yes,
no matter
ma'am.
How long they've been together.
Yes.
And others don't, right? Even if they've only been going out a few weeks.
That's true.
You have to have an engagement with the other person. You have to share some shared activity. Relationships don't exist in a vacuum. So it's important that we share some activities together. It doesn't mean we have to share all our activities. You might like to bowl and your partner might not. Or you might like to, go to live music events and your partner may not. It's not that we have to share all those things, because some things you can do with friends, right, who share that same interest.
Right.
But we do have to have some shared activity and some time together. And that's, I think, one thing that can get easy to forget or get lost. When we get into a long-term relationship, especially if we have kids and we have a job and, you know, we're juggling lots of things, that we forget to spend time together, and we need that connecting time. And then we also need to maintain our sexual interest in each other if we're going to have a satisfying long-term relationship. We need to keep that part alive. And that's partly wanting to look attractive to your partner. It's, you know, wanting to feel attracted to them. It's being open to that sexual spark. And keeping that part really alive is so important.
I appreciate you for saying that, because I've heard some people say that, and I guess, you know, this could be somewhat relative, but I've heard some people say that in their lives, they really don't need the sex because the other facets of their relationship work so well. But it just seems to me that I would think for the average relationship, the typical relationship, if nothing else, a vibrant sex life would truly enhance the overall relationship.
It very much does, and so that part's really important. And there are people who try to get by without it. But one thing is that when our sexual relationship maintains this vibrancy, that also makes us feel a lot of goodwill toward our partner, and it helps us over some of the rough spots. It makes us feel loved and cared about and accepted for who we are completely. Our bodies being accepted matters. So without that, you know, it's kind of painful to me. And I do see people. I saw a young couple who were about to get married, and they were already had lost their sexual spark. They had barely had one at the beginning, and that there were so many things that were right about their relationship, but that was missing, and it was hard to see in the long run how that was going to work for them.
So the sexual spark, the sexual vibrancy is very important. You mentioned that one of the things that's happening is affirmation is taking place. You're affirming my body. You're affirming my beauty, my handsomeness, whatever it is. And
right, and the acceptance of that, you know, liking you the way you are, not trying to change you or needing you to be different. Those things are really important. And it's seeing us for who we really are. So, you know, if your partner praises you for something that isn't something that resonates with you, like they say you're a great listener, but you don't think you are, or they say you're, you know, the most, you know, attractive person, you know, but that doesn't really resonate, that's going to be harder. It's being acknowledged for the things that have to do with who they really see themselves as a person are important. And that it's important that they also see us as not perfect, because if they see us as perfect, they're in love with a fantasy of us, not who we really are.
I got you. So, Dr. Firestone, when we talk about the relationship, the sexual part of it, and all the benefit that comes from a vibrant sexual life, when we connect that with the conversation that we were having previously about the pursuer, the distancer, do both partners need to be pursuers of the other when it comes to sex, or does that matter?
A lot of people would like it to be totally even, but usually, you know, at some points in life, it's more one person, and then it may be more the other person at other times. I don't think it has to be, again, even or exactly the same. It is nice if both people take pleasure in it and can acknowledge that to each other, however they do, and that might be by one person pursuing, and it's even nicer when it's both, you know, so it, again, doesn't have to be perfect, but it is nice when there's some give and take, and at least where, even if you're not the pursuer of the sexuality, when it does occur, you are appreciative for it, and you do acknowledge that to your partner, that's important.
Mm. So when we come back, can we talk about some of the ways that intimacy, once established, can be lost, and then how it can then be restored?
Uh-huh.
Cool.
Yes,
all right.
We will.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, stay with us. Dr. Firestone laid it on the line for us, helping us build our intimate relationships. We'll be right back.